You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan Democrats hold their convention this Sunday at Detroit's Cobo Center. So this week, we're sitting down with the four Democratic candidates for governor, knowing the August primary is just four short months away. Today, we welcome Gretchen Whitmer. She served in the Michigan House from 2001 until 2006, and then the Michigan Senate from 2006 until 2015. And during part of that time, she served as Senate Minority Leader. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's get into some of the headline issues in this state, starting with education. We see proficiency tests consistently showing Michigan students lagging behind most other states. Where would you start in trying to improve Michigan schools?
Well, you know, I've got kids in the public schools, and this was the state that had the finest public school education system on the planet at one point. And right now, we see the results of the most recent tests. We are lagging the rest of the country. We are in the bottom 10 in every measurement. And I think that that's been something that didn't happen overnight, obviously. It's been a consistent lack of support for people who go into education, lack of support in terms of funding for education. And we can tell because we've got adequacy studies that say we are thousands of dollars underfunding per student a real education. And we see fewer and fewer people going into the noble calling of education. We got a real crisis on our hands here in Michigan. And we could get everything else right. But if we don't fix the education system in our state, we're never going to make this a state of successful people.
So where would you begin to reverse that?
Well, first and foremost, I would stop the raids on the school aid fund. When I was in the legislature, I took on governors in both parties when they started taking money out of the school aid fund. It is the total number at this point in time is well over $650 million is stolen from our kids' education and used to backfill general fund holes, and it has been for years. That kind of disinvestment comes with a huge cost, and we see it in our outcomes for our students. But we also have to get to a place where we don't have leaders who are challenging literacy. You know, the governor and the attorney general are in court saying that we don't have a constitutional right to literacy in Michigan. We need to instead embrace a plan that has real wraparound supports for our youngest kids so we make sure that every child can read by the end of third grade. Because up until third grade, you learn to read. After third grade, you read to learn. And if you're not a reader by the end of third grade, you're getting left behind. And in Michigan right now, we rank in the bottom of the bottom for literacy.
Is there money going to be there to do that?
Absolutely. I, you know, have a backbone of titanium, and I remain true to my principles that every dollar in that school aid fund should be going to our K-12 schools. And so just by drawing a line there, we could infuse almost $750 million into do exactly what I just described.
Gretchen, where do you see charter schools in your vision?
Well, Cynthia, I was never a big proponent of charter schools from the beginning. And when they took the cap off, that was something I was very concerned about. The promise of charter schools was that because they wouldn't have to abide by the same rules as the traditional public schools, they would be free to innovate and they would accordingly have much greater outcomes. The problem is that we've had decades of a charter school experiment in Michigan, and their outcomes are no better for students than the traditional public schools. In fact, there's an argument to be made that in many cases they're worse because they open and they close. They pick and choose who can attend the charter school, and they don't even have to provide education for kids with special needs or even a high school education for that matter. So despite all of these advantages, their outcomes are similar or worse to that of the traditional public schools. And that's why I see what's happening in our charter schools. And I know that this for-profit model that is out of control in Michigan has perverted an education system that is supposed to be focused on educating kids and made it a profit motive. And I think that our kids are paying a huge price for it. So I think we need to hold all schools accountable, charters and public alike, and charter schools that are not working and are not getting our kids ready for the world should not be in existence. No one should be making money off of our kids' education and delivering kids that aren't ready for the world.
Roads and infrastructure and protecting our water resources, certainly biggest challenges our state faces. And you recently launched a tour touting your infrastructure plan. How would you find the money needed to fix roads, fix bridges, protect our water?
Well, so we've had years and years of neglect of our infrastructure here in Michigan. And we know it every single day. If you drive Michigan roads, you know it. I've replaced 2 windshields in the last 12 months. I talk to people every single day across our state. And that's why when I rolled out my infrastructure plan, I called it the Fix Our Damn Roads Plan. I've been traveling the state, and I know that people are fed up with phony solutions or solutions that simply don't actually fix the problem. We saw the governor and the Republicans in the legislature put another couple hundred million dollars into roads. Ken Siver, the mayor in Southfield, said that $500,000 that Southfield will get as a result of that, he'll take it, but it will only give him the chance to pave one lane of one road in Southfield for 1 mile.
And you've got a plan to do it differently. Where would you find that money?
I do. So my plan would boost the Michigan Infrastructure Bank and put $2 billion into the bank, which leverages another $1 billion from the federal government. And I would build it into the budget, meaning the budget that I introduce next year, if I'm lucky enough to win this election, will have real resources dedicated to roads that will fund that infrastructure bank. It will be a combination of things. I acknowledge that right now the economy could look very different and the legislature could look very different. So I haven't identified exactly which pieces will be a part of that, but in my time in the legislature, I took votes, tough votes, on serious fixes to the roads. And so I reserve the right to pick any one of those to fund this. And you know what? If I can't get the legislature to do the right thing, I'll go straight to the people and pass a bond if I have to.
And which sounds good, but there are indications we could be headed into another economic downturn, perhaps some say even a full-blown recession, by the time the next governor of Michigan takes office. So if you're elected and this downturn happens, what's your pitch? What's your pitch to the public and legislators as to supporting a $3 billion ask?
Well, we are paying for bad roads right now. Every one of us is. I'm paying a road tax, and so are you. Every driver pays about $540 a year to fix their cars because we're not fixing our roads. If you live in metropolitan Detroit, it's like $860 a year to fix your car instead of fixing the roads. Those costs set families back. I spoke to a mom the other day who was driving down to see her son in Detroit and hit a pothole, and it cost her $900 to fix her car. And that's a family that's living on the edge that did not have $900 in a savings account, could not put it on a credit card, and it was a massive setback. We can keep our economy moving forward, but we have to fix our roads. We have to have clean water. We have to get every community connected to high-speed broadband. Not having Amazon come here is a mandate for us to get our house in order. And that starts with really getting infrastructure right. And we can put thousands of Michiganders to work doing it in good paying jobs. And so we have a double benefit. We invest in the things that matter to families, and we put Michiganders to work doing it.
Gretchen Whitmer, let's move to the gun debate. Are you in favor of more restrictions on guns?
Yes, I have. For all the years that I was in the legislature, I was an advocate for gun safety. I've got kids in the public schools in East Lansing, and you know, I have to talk to my girls about when they're in class, they need to be aware of their surroundings, of other people's moods, of the quickest way to escape a room. Those are things we shouldn't have to talk about with our kids, but right now in America, we do. We have to not just talk about it, we got to do it often, over and over again. I think we could make a lot of advances in creating a safer community, a safer state, by having some common sense safety measures, meaning
such as
background
what,
checks.
Specifically, what do you have in mind?
Background checks, red flag laws, raising the age for a purchase price, having a waiting period when people go in to purchase a weapon. These are all things that responsible gun owners support as well. Let's find our common ground and do some good here immediately that make our kids' schools safer.
And I know you have been asked about an assault weapons ban, and you've referred to a 2012 essay you wrote in the Huffington Post after Sandy Hook. You also wrote an essay for the Lansing State Journal in 2013. How about right now in 2018, in this time of very heightened feelings about guns in our country, what are your thoughts on assault weapons?
My thoughts haven't changed. You know, these are weapons of war and that they should not be, you know, in our communities and on the streets. And so From my first election in 2000 to present day, I think we've seen more and more gun violence in our schools. And my thinking on, you know, assault rifles and weapons of war has not changed one bit. I don't think that they should be available on the open market to people, you know, in our communities.
So would you add an assault weapons ban to that list you gave us?
Yeah, it's been there all along. I've just really tried to focus on getting things done. We see all of these politicians going off to their corners and demonizing everyone who doesn't stand in the exact same position they are, and then nothing gets done. And so that's why I thought it was important to really put the emphasis and start on things that we could get done today, even with this legislature that's there and this governor that's in office. But assuming that, you know, we don't, I will push for it every single day after this election if I'm the next governor.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with Democratic gubernatorial candidate Gretchen Whitmer. Let's turn now to health care. What changes would you like to see in our health care system in Michigan?
Well, you know, Cynthia, I was in the legislature. I was the top Democrat in state government when Governor Snyder embraced the Affordable Care Act. And while I certainly had my differences with Governor Snyder on a lot of substantive issues, when he did that, I knew that despite the Republican Party controlling everything in state government, there was no way on God's green earth he was going to get it passed without me and my caucus and my help. So I rolled up my sleeves and I negotiated with the governor. I put the votes together and we got the bill to his desk. And now 680,000 Michiganders have health care coverage who didn't before.
And certainly that's been tremendously popular in our state and really in just about every state that's participated in Medicaid expansion. What about right now? What going forward, what would you like to see happen?
Well, I want Washington to stop trying to attack it and take it away, number one. Number two, I see some of the legislation that is being proposed and debated over at the legislature, and I think that we need to work not to keep more people from getting access. We need to make sure that every Michigander has access to affordable, quality health care in this state. We still have 600,000 Michiganders who don't, and that's the population that I'm thinking of when I think about how do we expand health care. But I also know that it is long overdue that we start doing something on behalf of the mental health problem that is plaguing people in our state and in every state, but the problem's worse in Michigan because we don't have a real infrastructure and plan to meet people's mental health needs in our state. And we haven't since John Engler left office, unfortunately. It's been a long, tough time for people in the mental health community and people who are suffering, and that's got to be a part of our public health strategy going forward.
One of the things we're hearing is a growing movement on the left to expand even further into a single-payer healthcare system, so-called Medicare for All. Are you for that?
Well, I know that there are going to be a lot of things that are debated on the federal level. And, of course, my goal is to make sure that every person has access to affordable, quality healthcare. That's my goal. Anyone who can get that done on the federal level, I'm going to embrace it. But at this point in time, I think I'm not going to wait for Washington, D.C. to fix this problem. It's incumbent on us as Michiganders to say healthcare is a right, and we are going to expand the ability for everyone to get healthcare in our state and not wait on Washington, D.C.
There was, Gretchen, some hubbub a couple of months ago around a fundraising letter that your campaign sent out, signed by four Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan executives who run its political action committee. And this invitation encouraged Blue Cross employees to donate to your campaign. Everything was legal about that. But should voters be concerned that you're too close to the status quo when it comes to health care?
You know what? Anyone who challenges whether or not I am, my interests are on behalf of the working people of Michigan or some business isn't familiar with my record. I am proud to have been the one on the front line to negotiate and expand Medicaid in Michigan. I am proud to be the woman who stood up and told my story as a survivor of sexual assault on MSU's campus when women's access to health care was being compromised. I've got a record on behalf of people in this state, a record that shows I will work with anyone to make sure we expand access, and I'm proud of that record.
Insurance companies did benefit from that expansion.
You know what? We all benefited from that expansion. Our economy benefited from it. We've got more people employed in the healthcare sector. And you know who else benefited? The 680,000 Michiganders, many of whom saw a doctor for the first time because of the work that we did. I spoke to a man who was describing his first visit to the doctor because of Medicaid expansion. I talked to another person up north who was telling me that Medicaid expansion saved his mom's life. So we've all benefited from it, and I think that's why everyone was supportive of it when it came down to it.
Let's talk politics. For a Democrat, it's imperative to get Detroit voters to turn out. And there is concern among some Democrats, in fact, Detroit News columnist Bankole A. Thompson wrote about this a couple of weeks ago, that you've got a ways to go when it comes to name recognition in Detroit. How do you plan to get Detroit voters excited and whipped up about you as a candidate for governor?
Well, I don't take anything for granted. We are doing the groundwork. I have been to 61 out of the 83 counties. Today, we are turning in our petitions. And guess what? We're turning in over 31,000 signatures collected from all 83 counties by an all-volunteer army of people that want, you know, that support me and want to win this election. We've moved our campaign headquarters to the city of Detroit, and endorsements like the mayor of Detroit, Mayor Duggan, as well as Brenda Lawrence and other congressional delegation, that's all great, and I'm grateful for that. But we've got work to do. We are on the ground, and we'll be at the doors talking directly with voters. Every time I have the ability to actually look eye to eye with a voter, we find that they become activists and become volunteers. And so I'll be spending more and more time there. I recognize we've got work to do, but we're also in April.
And just touching back to what we talked about earlier, the signs that Michigan's next governor may well preside over an economic downturn, perhaps even a recession. If that happens and hard decisions need to be made in your first budget, what would remain your utmost priority?
Well, we've got to educate our kids. I mean, first and foremost, the education of our children is the thing that is the foundation of our state, the backbone of our economy. There's no question, though, that if you don't have clean water, you can't survive. And so I quickly think about the fact that Governor Snyder cut off bottled water to people in Flint just last week, in the same week that he permits Nestle to take another 60%, you know, increase their withdrawal by 60%, not pay a dime for it. So it's those fundamentals, I think, that I'm going to be completely occupied with. It's the dinner table issues that are keeping Michigan families up at night. The education of your kids, the water coming out of your tap, and your ability to get into a good paying job.
Gretchen Whitmer, Democratic candidate for governor, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.